Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that mighty sea is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, mighty sea will join the fight. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
So though we are in danger, we never despair, 'cause we know that where there's danger, he is there.
He is there, on the land, on the sea, in the air.
Welcome to the Mighty Seek Podcast. I'm Dan Kirkendall, and I'm your host. It's been quite a while since I've talked to you guys. It's been months since I've done a podcast. It's kind of driving me nuts, actually. Yeah, it's one of these scenarios where I've been, you know, basically waiting to either not have a cold or, I don't know, there's always something in the way of me actually just sitting down and recording. And I figured after 6 months or so, it's just time to end that, just get a show done. I've had a topic I've been wanting to talk about. I've slightly blogged about it, but there is what's going on. It's March now, and this is the month of PHP bugs. There was a PHP developer, one of the guys that help work on the language itself, and he was responsible for really focusing on security, or that was, you know, what he had put himself to. He put himself as the focus, you know, just really, really focused on security. And as such, he ended up creating what was called the Hardened PHP project. And in this effort, you know, they were trying to create a version of PHP that would have a bunch of fixes that would solve some security problems. And it would go a little further. It would actually restrict the capabilities of the language in order to kind of proactively prevent problems. There's a lot of discussion around PHP security itself. And a lot of it is, you know, PHP gets a lot of blame for things that it really shouldn't. There's a lot of PHP applications. I write several. My largest project that I've worked on was PHP Groupware that I helped found with Joe Engo. Joe Engo's now over at Podshow. But this is, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 years back, we started PHP Groupware, which was an effort to create a web-based groupware alternative to Novell GroupWise, Microsoft Exchange, and Lotus Notes at the time. So anyway, it was a very, very large project, and I just was really learning PHP at the time. I wasn't really as, you know, I wasn't as good with my security fundamentals. I didn't have it all there yet. So a lot of learning took place in that project. And as such, we have security problems, and I think the project still may have some. But we've really cleaned it up a lot. You know, I no longer actively develop the project, but it continues without me, which is, I'm pretty proud of that. A good open source project should live on beyond its founding developers and should continue and grow, and it's doing that. But anyway, we were an application written in PHP. And so, you know, if there was a security vulnerability that got on BugTrack or any security vulnerabilities that got posted, a lot of times, you know, because our application was PHP Groupware, it would get attributed to PHP. And unfairly so. You know, the language itself does not protect developers from themselves. Very few languages really do. C and C++ are notorious for this. They do what a developer tells them to do, and nothing else. And so developers quite frequently create bugs in their applications and create buffer overflow conditions. That's the major reason for buffer overflow conditions and buffer overflow vulnerabilities, is because of the way you have to manage your pointers and all this stuff in those languages. You have to be very diligent. Now, with PHP, you know, this is a scripting language. You don't have as much of that, but you still have plenty of other things that you can do wrong. Plenty of things that I've talked about before. Things like SQL injection. In web applications, the application developer is often creating SQL statements out of user input. And if they're not properly escaping these things, properly validating the data types and content before they actually construct their SQL statement, then it could cause a problem when the statement gets executed. So, you know, this is not a responsibility of the language, but they have done things to help. One of the things that they had done at one point was what they call magic slashes. And magic slashes would basically take any of the get, post data and automatically add the backslash, which is what the most SQL servers could use for escaping, you know, like single quotes would get escaped. So it'd be, you know, if the user input a single quote in there, it would always be preceded with a slash. And that's kind of annoying when you, you know, because if you're not going to use it in a SQL statement, you have to what they call strip slashes. Anyway, the language has been evolving, and they've been adding things to protect developers by default. But they do leave basically what PHP has done wrong, and I'm not sure I really think it's wrong, but they basically give developers a very long rope with which they can hang themselves. And, you know, a lot of scripting, you know, script language developers are not the experienced development community. And, you know, but their applications are going out on the internet. They're being, you know, run on the internet quite frequently. So their mistakes can have larger ramifications than the in-house code monkey who's developing a, you know, some local C++ application that's only going to be run in-house by employees or as some kind of in-house service only. You know, there's just not, you don't have the number of, you know, bad guys poking at your code. So, you know, I've discussed this before. There's a combination of reasons why web applications have more vulnerabilities developed into them. You know, that aside, PHP is not responsible for all that many of the bugs. Okay, I'm going to discuss the ones that I'm aware of, and I'm going to discuss the things that are in the month of PHP bugs. Those are actually a bit more hardcore. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff in there. I've been really watching it with great interest over these last several days. But anyway, so what we have to do is try, when we look at it and when we hear, oh, PHP is not a secure programming language, for the large part, that's a bunch of crap. Okay? Every language has problems, and pretty much every language will allow developers to screw themselves up. I think it's, you know, maybe .NET and Ruby on Rails has a good framework that inherently promotes secure development, but, you know, in large part, developers can still screw themselves up, and PHP is a prime example of that. It very much lets a developer hang themselves. So what some people have proposed is that the language itself, by default, try to be secure, but then have ways to allow developers to do things that they may need to do. So, you know, the magic slashes is an example of that. It's now enabled by default. There was another problem in PHP that, I tend to agree with people, is this was a stupid idea. But it was how they did it initially, and they've gone back and changed this. There was a concept of register globals. What that did is anything... Okay, in PHP, the get, post, and cookie inputs. Okay, those are the inputs from the user, right? There's get, post, and cookie. That's how users can provide inputs. There's also the URL itself, which could be parsed using what would be called like 404 error trapping or whatever. But let's put that aside for the moment. there's GET, POST, and COOKIE. So, and GET is stuff that would be on the URL that you would see in the browser's URL. So you got the page, you know, www.site.com/somepage.php question mark, and then after that you have a series of parameter name equals parameter value, and then ampersand parameter name equals parameter value, and goes on. There's also POST. This is usually what you would use in a form. So when you submit a form, it's not in the URL. It's actually put in a different location of the HTTP header, which is the POST data area, and it would get put in there. Then there's also the cookies. Now, we don't usually think of cookies as inputs, but they are. And, you know, if you're dealing with security, cookies are actually a often overlooked input attack place, because, you know, they're going to use, maybe there's a session ID in there. You know, it's not hard to get into your browser, or, you know, have a man in the middle local proxy or something to edit the value of the cookie going to the server and put an attack string in there. So anyway, the proper locations they have is they automatically parse everything for you, and then they deliver to you this, it's a $_GET. It used to be under globals, but let's just use the modern terms. There's a $_GET, and that's an array of all of the name and value pairs. And then there's $_POST. That's all uppercase POST and all uppercase GET. But that would have all your POST data, same thing as it did with the GETs. And then there's also COOKIE. And then there's also SESSION and a couple other things. But those aren't directly user inputs. Those are stuff that you've stored. So anyway, the GET, POST, and cookies are in those arrays, and that's where you should go to get the data. They also have one other one called REQUEST, and that's a combination of the three. Okay, I tend to dislike REQUEST, and I'll explain why. But anyway, if you have those three arrays, you have the GET, POST, cookie, all right, let's say four, GET, POST, cookie, and REQUEST. GET, POST, cookie, you know exactly where that data is coming from. So you know when you're about to use it that this could be dirty. Okay, this could be an attack string. So you should take care to deal with it. You know, once you've taken it from there and you've moved it into your environment, you should filter it right when you bring it in. And then as you go through your, you know, this data travels through your application code, you should already know it's cleaned up at that point, and that it's sanitized, and you have everything, you know, it's the kind of data you want. So, but, you know, as you're pulling it in, if you're using GET, POST, cookie, then you know what you're dealing with at every given point. What this register globals did was it would take those values. So let's say you put, you know, www.site.com, somepage.php, question mark, DB user equals, and then some password. Okay. Let's say in my config file, I use DB user as where I would store the password for the database. That is a global, right? So if I did, you know, $DB user equals, and you know, and a value, that's a global variable at that point. It's available throughout. And if you're going to use it within a function, you have to use what's called globals. Or, you have to call it in using the global statement. But this is a what would be called a global parameter if you set it in a global space. What they were doing in PHP is they were taking all of the GET, POST, and cookies and stuffing those into the global space. So, let's say on your config page, you had, you would have debug equals, you know, $debug equals true. And then what that would do is in various locations of your code, you would have, if, you know, DB equals true, or, you know, yeah, if DB equals true, then, you know, print out this extra error text, some debugging information, you know, maybe it would display the SQL connect ID or whatever, right? Anything you may want to know, but only if you're in debug mode. Normally, you would probably, in your config file, comment this line out. Okay, why that's important is, when you comment it out, it's not being set. Okay, so now what happens, if I'm bad guy, and I know that that may be a config option, right? It's an open source application. I know that the developers put that mechanism in place. And, you know, I guess people would normally comment it out rather than change it to debug equals false. They would just comment it out. What I could do is, if register globals is on, I could do this at the URL. I could, you know, I could put in the get string debug equals true. Okay? So now, when it hits those locations, it will think the developer wanted to have debug mode turned on, and it could output extra stuff. This is just a simple example, but it's important to understand that it allows the parameters to be set in that global space. And so if they're not being set somewhere else, and PHP developers don't always set their they don't always create their inputs up front before they use them. Like in a language like C or C++, you have to declare the variable and give it a value. Usually, you know, you could leave it empty, but you have to give it some value before you can use it. In PHP, you could just start using a variable. If it doesn't exist, it just kind of it's kind of like null. But you could use it, and it wouldn't really cause an error. It does cause an error, but it's a low-level warning that wouldn't normally show up on a page. It could show up in the web server's log file, depending on their configuration. But anyway, in general, it's not something that would be called an error. This is a warning. You used a variable that didn't exist. Okay? No big deal. People do it in PHP applications all the time. But the problem is, if I know as a bad guy that this parameter may not be set, right? It only may get set in an if statement, you know, or it may get, you know, set in another file where it's going to be commented out potentially. Then I could, on the URL, set that value and cause whatever was going to happen with that data to happen using what the data I'm now providing. So anyway, this register globals is really bad news. Okay, thankfully these days that is turned off by default. Register globals equals false is the base, is the standard now. I think it's false or off, whatever. It is now off by default. So this is a case where the PHP developers decided that this is a reasonable and good security measure to take, right? So now if you're going to use input from the user, the get, post, and cookie data, you know that you're getting it from there. So you have to get it from those global arrays. That is great. I much appreciate that. Some PHP applications still require register globals, which is just terrible and dangerous. If you have an application that is telling you to turn that on, I would reconsider using the application. Straight up, I would look for another alternative. So it is just that bad of a design in PHP, and I'm glad it's turned off by default. Now, I mentioned that there was that request, which was a combination of the get, post, and cookies. I can call GPC as get, post, cookie. That's how it's generally referred to among us in the development and security community. So anyway, the GPC, you know, having those separate arrays for each one, I think is great. But what they've done is they've also created request. So if you don't care how it came in, you don't care that it came in from get or post or a cookie, you just need to know that this parameter was somehow provided to me by the user. Okay? You still know that it came from the user, so that's still good. But you don't know how it came in. You don't know if it came in as a get, post, or a cookie data. And I think that's dangerous. Well, I know it's dangerous, but you know, I understand the allure, because you could create a form, or you could have a get parameter with a link, and it doesn't matter. It's still going to come in. You know, it could be a search thing. So, you know, when you're going to search, you don't care how they provided the data. All you care about is that you got it from the user, and it's giving you, you know, it's got the parameter name and the value that you care about. The problem is, it is generally a good idea to use POST in various areas. When a user is submitting a form, especially if it's got any kind of sensitive data, you want it to come in as POST. A couple of reasons for that are, is one of them, if there's any kind of data in there that could, that a user may not want other people to see, like, let's say, the password, okay? If a user submits a password, and the form is set with its method set to get, okay, so it means it's going to go on the on the URL, then when they hit submit, the next page that displays, it will have their password in the URL. Now, this means that it's going to be in the browser history, it's going to be in the web server logs, and if anybody's looking over their shoulder, it's going to be on their, you know, right now, sitting right on their screen. There to their password in plain text. Whereas if it's in the POST data, the web servers generally don't log POST data. The browser puts it doesn't store POST data in the cache for very long. I mean, it does for a little while because you can hit back. But and there's a form attribute that you could use to stop that anyway. And anybody looking over their shoulder won't see it because it's in the HTTP header, but it's not something that's displayed in the browser. So it provides an additional layer of security. And there's always layers, okay? It's not, you know, the end-all be-all. It is a step in securing your application. So when you're taking in your data, you want to make sure that it's coming in the way that you expect it to. If you know that you're asking for the username and password via a form that's sending over POST, then you should only look in the POST array for the user's username and password. There's no reason to use request. It allows people to attack your site easier. One of the things it could do is, it's much easier to script up a series of brute force attacks using the get string. It's a little more of a hassle to do it in a POST string. You can still do it, and it's not terribly hard, but, you know, it's not something you can just do as simply. You know, if I'm going to use a browser to try to just brute force, and I know it's taking it via request, I'll just stick username in the URL, and I'll just keep trying different ones. And I've got the URL, and I've got my browser, and I've got a very handy tool to run these attacks. Whereas if I've got a form method, then I got to keep hitting back. You know, it's just a much bigger hassle. I guess not much bigger, but it is a bigger hassle. There's more effort involved, and you really want to, you know, constantly be raising the bar of difficulty to exploit things. So, and I'm probably brain fading on a ton of good examples of why request is bad, but really, I guess the key is, you always want to know and control what, you know, data you're getting from the user and how you're getting it. You know, if their session ID should be only in their cookie, but it's showing up in the URL, you know, why? You know, is somebody trying to do, you know, some session hijacking attack? You know, because it's a lot bigger hassle to, you know, try to edit the browser's active session or cookies file. Some of the session cookies are stored in memory and not ever written out to file. And so, you know, if I'm a bad guy and I know they're getting the session ID using a request, then I'll use the URL to just do some session hijacking attempts. So, anyway, those are just some basic examples. But these are steps that the PHP developers, the developers of the language itself, have gone to and put in place to help developers, you know, code in a more secure environment. You know, they still have a lot of things to improve on, but they're making steps. It's not that the language is completely, and the developers are completely ignoring that developers could use a little help. There's still plenty of things that they're missing, but they are slowly, but, you know, I would think slowly but surely, making steps down this path. Okay. But it is still a very flexible language, and they don't want to break backward compatibility. It's always the curse. Backward compatibility curse is definitely an issue in the PHP developer community. You know, they don't want to break these old applications, you know, ones that are unmaintained at this point, but people still depend on. You know, they just, they've tended to work very hard to maintain backward compatibility, even across versions. You know, I had started PHP Groupware when PHP 3 was out, and then when PHP 4 came out, it actually broke our software. PHP Groupware didn't work for a while. Had to go back through, learn some of the changes in the language. It was a hassle, you know. So then, you know, now we're up to PHP 5, and again, it breaks applications because they, in PHP 4, they tried to become some kind of crazy, almost object-oriented language, and PHP Groupware is actually quite bleeding edge in terms of really pressing the capabilities of the object-oriented mechanisms in PHP. You know, we had nested classes, and this was something that people didn't know if it would work very well. It was interesting at the time. But, you know, so PHP 4 started adding some, you know, halfway object-oriented environment. And then PHP 5 now takes it a step further. And, you know, there's a lot of changes in the way the language has references and pointers as opposed to copying data. So anyway, there's changes to maybe how your application is going to function. But they have tried to keep them down to a minimum so that applications will be able to migrate to the, you know, latest, greatest PHP version. And so that they don't have to, forever support the old code and constantly be, you know, putting bug fixes in and security fixes. It's, you know, that's a burden for a project. So if they can maintain as much backward compatibility as possible, then they can migrate, you know, applications will run in the latest, greatest PHP versions, and, you know, the project moves along smoother. In any case, have been stubborn, and there are people who don't feel like they're doing enough. I'm kind of on the fence. I'm quite impressed and quite happy with the PHP developers. They've done an amazing job. I know how hard it is to run a project. I couldn't even begin to imagine having such a number of applications and developers completely dependent on my efforts and my project. You know, PHP Groupware was important to a lot of people, and a lot of people were running their businesses off of it, but, you know, in scale, it was quite small, you know, as opposed to PHP, which is, you know, on every Linux distro, you know, includes Apache and PHP and MySQL. It's, you know, they got LAMP, they got books and magazines, and I mean, there's a whole business infrastructure and web development community using PHP to develop software, and does a really good job. But there are, you know, so I give these developers so much credit and so much appreciation. You know, I don't like to just, you know, I don't want to bash them. But they do have their detractors. You know, there are people that don't like the PHP language. You know, they prefer, Python or whatever Python's web language is, Ruby on Rails. You know, there's a lot of alternatives. I prefer PHP, just my own neurosis. I actually started as an ASP developer. I started my development career as doing, now I'm going to embarrass myself, but I was a MS Access developer and then became an ASP developer, and then I decided I do not want to do software development for a living. It sucks, and in large part it was because of the environments I was developing software in. So I quit, and I went into the network engineering side of things and began my security career. And then, you know, I guess I had it in me to still want to build software, so I picked up a book on PHP, joined up with Joe Engo, and started the PHP Groupware project. So, you know, this goes back quite a long way. I've met Rasmus, great guy. I've talked to Zeev. You know, these people are amazing. But anyway, they have their detractors. I'm not one of them. But I will complain about some of the problems that are in PHP that they have, you know, that's documented, that is out there, and that for some reason they refuse to fix. Or, I know, you know, there's so much development going into PHP, you would think they would be able to bring these fixes in. So, that brings us to the PHP hardened, or I guess it's hardened PHP project. The goal of this was to create a binary compatible version of PHP that you could run that would have all these patches and fixes in them that hadn't yet made it into the PHP proper code, okay? The standard PHP code. And, what's the guy's name? Stefan Esser. He was the real driving force behind this. And he was part of the PHP development team. Among the mailing lists and the PHP developer mailing lists, and again, this is not, you know, for PHP web developers, this is for people working on the language. He was, you know, outspoken on there and was trying to constantly get security concepts integrated into PHP that he ran into a lot of resistance. And he fought and fought and fought and fought. Finally, he got fed up. And the hardened PHP project, I don't know, I'm going to hit some of the rumorish stuff here. The hardened PHP project was told that they couldn't be called that or something. They couldn't use PHP in the name because there is a trademark on PHP. And I was actually concerned about it with the PHP Groupware project for a while. But nobody ever really made a fuss about us, so the name stands. But there was some hoopla there. Anyway, Stefan bailed. He quit, threw his hands in the air, said, these guys are never going to do anything. And, I can't, you know, speak bad about them from the inside. I need to come on the outside and be an outspoken critic of what they're doing. And I believe that his intentions are generally good. I'm not sure about if I really agree, you know, with actually going this route. But whatever. I think he genuinely wants PHP to improve. He wants the language to get better and not to have these security problems. But since they do, he has this hardened PHP project. One of the products of it is, instead of having to have a whole separate installation of PHP, right? So, you know, you got the standard PHP that you would get from PHP.net, or you'd have the hardened PHP. And rather than having to maintain it that way, what he did, you know, PHP has support for these things, for these extensions. And extensions can add all kinds of functionality. You know, there's an extension so that it can talk to MySQL. There's an extension for XML parsing. There's an extension for XSLT. There's an extension for GDLib, so you can create images on the fly. There's tons of extensions out there. And PHP is really well designed to handle these extensions. And, you know, basically it just adds functionality into the language. You know, PHP has a lot of its own, but then it's really improved by way of these extensions. So what the hardened PHP project has done is created Suhasan. I don't know how it's really supposed to be pronounced. I don't know if somebody put it in here, but I call it Suhasan. Suhasan is an extension, and it adds all of these fixes to the language. So if I understand it right, in PHP, extensions can overwrite the native functions. So, you know, the extensions can say, no, don't use that one, use mine. Okay? And I don't think very many people are doing that. I don't think any other extensions do that. But Suhasan does. So, and everything else is, they call binary compatible, and it works great. I have it running on my site. It works great. Actually, it only broke one application, and that was PodPress, which is quite funny, considering I'm the developer of it. One of the things Suhasan does is it goes beyond just fixing known vulnerabilities. It also kind of borders on being a web application firewall. And so what it'll do is it kind of has some, you know, and the latest version actually has some semblance of a SQL injection attack detection. And it has detections for, you know, what would potentially be attack methods of creating too many inputs, and there's a ton of things that it does, and you can look at the website. It's on hardened-php.net. That's the project's website, but it's got a ton of configuration options, and it's really cool. I really, really like it. It's a really great way to solve the problem of PHP, you know, not fixing things quickly. I'm looking at some of the list of configs, and there's a ton of them. You know, you could create whitelists and blacklists for you know, like eval, which is quite a dangerous function in PHP, but when that's often necessary. But anyway, it's a really cool module, and it solves a lot of the security problems in PHP. Now, ideally, you know, the PHP development community should be migrating a lot of this into PHP. And I would personally very much like Suhasan to become a default module that is included with PHP. You know, I just, you know, pretty much every distro should include it. Now, they may want to throttle back some of its defaults, which are generally pretty liberal. But, you know, it may want to throttle some back. You know, there could be some discussion there. So this team, the Hardened PHP Project team, they are exceedingly knowledgeable about PHP and its security problems. So now let's talk about the real security problems. Because the other ones I've talked about are really around the fact that PHP gives you a very long rope in which to hang yourself with. Those are not inherent problems in PHP itself. They are just, they allow developers to really, you know, they may allow too much flexibility. Now, the register globals, I think that's, you know, I guess it is one of those things. It's just a very long rope. And fortunately, it's turned off by default. You know, magic quotes is another step toward helping developers, kind of preemptively helping a developer out, knowing that they often use this data in a SQL statement, and that it's probably better for them to unsanitize it than to have to remember to sanitize data. So I accept these things. They're good things. And Suhasan just takes it a step further. So, okay. So I was talking about Stefan. He left the PHP project and said, that's it. I'm out. I'm going to now become a very vocal critic of security problems in the PHP language. So we're going to talk about some of these. One very big and well-known example of a problem in PHP was around its file upload capabilities. The language provides the ability for users to handle having users upload files. It will put them in a temp directory and it tags them, you know, as, you know, is this a uploaded file? There's all these functions around having user upload it, making sure it was the file that the user uploaded, and then copying it from being that temp file into a permanent location. Otherwise, the file would basically time out and disappear and be destroyed. So there was bugs in that. There was the early implementations didn't have these functions to verify that this temp file was the one that was uploaded. It just, you know, basically told you, here's where it is. And then you went and grabbed it from there and copied it into the new location. So they've improved that a bit. But in the beginning, there was some very serious bugs. And people were able to craft all kinds of crazy attacks. You know, they would craft attacks where, you know, they would upload a file of, you know, with, you know, some kind of naming scheme or whatever, and they could it would end up resulting in, instead of copying that temp file, it would copy some, you know, arbitrary file on the system, one that the bad guy had specified. So, you know, I could potentially get, let's say, the password file or anything that would be readable by the web server. I could grab it. I think there was also some buffer overflow problems with it at one point. I don't know. There's been a ton of problems with the PHP upload capabilities. That is an example of something that is wrong with the language. Okay, this is the language's fault. This is the PHP developer's fault. They left bugs in their software, and, you know, this is not something that the PHP web developer, you know, a guy building a web application using PHP, that he has any control over. He has to utilize the tools that the language makes available. And if those are bad, you know, it's a problem. So those things have been fixed, and that's great. You know, and Stefan, I don't know if he was involved with, you know, finding some of that. Anyway, this guy is quite talented and quite interesting. You can look up more about him if you want. But anyway, he's now created this initiative of exposing these type of problems. Like that file upload thing, that is a problem in the language. That is a problem that could only be fixed by the PHP developers. Okay? They have to fix this. And they fixed that one. But there's a bunch that they haven't. Now, do these things really affect web applications? Generally, rarely. Okay? Some of them can. And I'm going to go through a couple of them really quick here. Some of them, excuse me, let me get a little more comfortable here. So I'm going to go through and start reading a bit of these. One of the things that, you know, PHP handles a lot of things. It makes it very easy. You know, it handles all of the cleanup and everything for developers. You know, in a language like C or C++, you have to go back and destroy things. Okay, if you don't, then you could, you know, basically start consuming tons of memory. You could cause problems if you're not diligently managing all of the data you're using in a language like C or C++. But in PHP, you can create a variable and maybe not even use it. Or, you know, try using a variable that hasn't been declared yet. Or, you know, you stick data, you copy it over here. You don't worry about going back and destroying it. A lot of people often recommend not, because the language is going to do it anyway, and you've, you know, used up a CPU cycle destroying data that was going to be done anyway. And so there's arguments against doing this yourself. But you can do it if you wanted to, and I've done it a lot. But anyway, it makes it very easy for developers. And, you know, data types, PHP is kind of interesting in that data types just convert. You know, if you set a variable, you know, if I set, you know, var1 equals 1, okay, and I put 1 in quotes, that would tell it that it's a string. Now, I didn't have to actually explicitly say it was a string. In, you know, most languages, you have to say, you know, that you have to declare the variable and what data type it's going to be, and then usually what value it has. But in PHP, I could just, you know, say 1. And then later on, if I put 1 in quotes, that should be a string. But then if I want to do a mathematical operation on it, PHP will try to convert it to a number data type and use it that way. And now if I had put var1 equals a, then the mathematical operation would fail. But if it was, at least it was a numerical value in there, it would use it that way. You know, if I wanted to compare it as a string, I could compare it as a string. It PHP is fun that way. and you know, some people say that it's not a real programming language because of that. But whatever. I beg to differ. I've created a lot of cool software in PHP. A lot of the bugs out there that are in this month of PHP bugs, this is what Stefan's launched, is this month of PHP bugs, and it's on php-security.org. You definitely want to head over there. There's going to be a link in the show notes, but it's php-security.org. This is quite interesting. I didn't know about a lot of these things. All these exploits, as far as I understand, he was going to be just publishing ones that have been previously published. But, you know, they're lost in the maze of, you know, all the other languages and platform vulnerabilities. But as far as I understand, most of these have been published already. And what he's doing is he's taking, usually basically he's taking a couple a day and putting them out on this website. And he's putting a description. He's often putting an example exploit code. He's doing, you know, putting a ton of information on the, each of these things. And fortunately, and I believe this is the case also, is that all of them, all of the vulnerabilities that he is exposing are protected in Suhasin. So if you're running PHP and you've got Suhasin, then you're automatically going to be protected from these vulnerabilities that he's publishing. So what's nice about that is that, you know, he's not just putting these problems out there without a solution, okay? That is often a problem, is people publish vulnerabilities, and, you know, then vendors have to scramble and try to fix these things. He's already got a solution in Suhasin. So if you want, if you're running PHP, you know, especially this month and over these next couple months while people are still combing through this and using it, you definitely want to be using Suhasin to protect from these problems. And you also want to be keeping track of PHP's been releasing updates and fixed versions lately to address some of these things. Now, most of these do not affect the applications. A couple of them do. A couple of them are kind of along the lines of, you know, let's see, what's a good example? There's some around, you know, like going through some parameters. If you give it a number that's too large for its stack space, it'll jump. And, you know, and there's one of the ones, I think it was from today, actually, around the string compare is a good example. Is this could affect web applications without the developer really being prepared for this. So let's say, you know, there's a substring compare function in PHP, and one of the inputs that you can use is, let's see, it has two strings from an offset up to a certain length, and it checks to make sure that if it's a negative, then that means it starts from the end of the string and goes back, you know, and then and proceeds from the end of the string. Otherwise, it starts, you know. Anyway, it has checks to make sure that that is all right. But if the up to length characters is, oh no, if the offset is larger, let me see, what is it? Larger than, I guess it has to be far outside the allocated buffer. So, you know, in the C code of, you know, behind the scenes, they've created a buffer. And if you go beyond that point, then you can bypass some of the restrictions. So it's entirely possible that the developer would use data from, you know, from the user in this. It's unlikely. I guess I would probably think that normally you'd do a count or something to get the lengths involved. But, you know, I guess it's possible. So, you know, and if it is happening that way, if the user is providing the information that then gets used in the substring compare, then that could be a problem. But in general, all of these things that are being exposed in the month of PHP project, or the month of PHP bugs, are things that you really have to be concerned about if you're a hosting provider. Because what a lot of these are doing is creating buffer overflow conditions where you can get other data, other information directly out of memory. So, I mean, you know, this is not really for the faint of heart. Script kiddies aren't going to generally use this kind of thing. But this means if I'm a hosting provider, I'm allowing people to upload PHP scripts to my server. They're FTPing them up there, and they're being executed. Well, I can upload to PHP scripts that have these attacks in them. And if I'm not, you know, running the latest version of PHP, which patches these, or Suhasin, then my hosting users, you know, the people that are paying to host their stuff on my site, could use these problems to attack my server. So they're definitely things that if you're a hosting provider, you really want to be on top of them. If you're a developer writing PHP applications or applications in PHP, they probably don't affect you all that much. You know, these are things that have to get fixed in the language. And most of these are not really, I wouldn't think they're all that common. There's some functions around, serializing and unserializing, and ways that these could fail, reference counter overflow, stuff like that. I don't think those are going to affect all that many people. What they really do affect is the hosting providers, people that are running their web servers and letting people upload scripts. They could be in danger from these kind of attacks. If you have a site where people can, there are ways that hackers can do remote code execution. If you're evaling code or anything like that, if you have any vulnerability on your application, where an outsider can insert code into your program, then these things can also affect you, from the outside. But in general, this is something that you'd have to upload a PHP script with this constructed attack in it. And then you get into areas of memory that you weren't supposed to be getting into. So they're cool for that. But, I guess what I'm saying is, if you have an application and an outsider cannot use very many of these vulnerabilities, I'd have to look again, but I don't think that any of them, they couldn't use any of these vulnerabilities to attack your application from the outside, right? I'm Joe Schmo, bad guy. I go to yoursite.com. None of these attacks are things that I can use to attack your application. I have to be, Joe Schmo, account holder on such and such web hosting, okay? I have, let's say, for example, on GoDaddy. I have a GoDaddy account. I can upload PHP scripts and, I can create a web page. I could upload these attack versions. And if GoDaddy isn't protecting themselves with Suhasin or, the latest PHP that's patched or whatever, then I could attack the GoDaddy web server using these methods. So they are important. They are critical to fix. But they, so far, the ones that have been released, don't directly allow attackers to, use these things to attack some arbitrary web server that they don't already control. They have, the bad guy would have to find some other way first, and then they could use these things. First they got to be able to insert PHP code that's going to get executed. It's not generally an easy task. But certainly not all that hard either. I've done it plenty. So, this is a really cool and interesting month. These month of PHP bugs are quite interesting. Actually, I will back up. One of these things is there is a new, in PHP 5, there is this extension for handling zip files. And what is it called? The Peckle zip extension. The latest vulnerability that he's talked about is a stack-based buffer overflow. And this Peckle zip basically you kind of constructs it as has like a URL, which is kind of weird. I haven't used it. I don't really like the extension. But what this could mean is that if I understand how to do this attack, is that I could create a zip file, a specially constructed zip file, that would create this buffer overflow condition. And then, you know, basically thing, you know, some of the stuff in that zip could attack the web server. So if, for example, the web server wants me to send it a zip file, that it's going to unzip and store some files, you know, maybe I'm going to upload some doc files or whatever. I'm going to upload something in a zip. It's going to unzip them and store them separately, right? All the files that are in the zip would get stored. If that's happening, then I could potentially upload an attack zip and it would, you know, do these attacks. It would create the buffer overflow condition and do something that I want it to do. And that is an example of something that the language needs to fix, because this is something that an outsider could use to exploit the application. And so those are really what I'm watching for out of the month of PHP bugs. Is those really matter more to me? You know, I'm not personally a hosting provider. I used to be. I don't do that anymore, and thankfully. So I'm not really too concerned. Hosting providers certainly should be concerned, because these are scenarios where their users could attack the website or the web server using these attacks. But, you know, if you know, let's say I've got my WordPress install, none of these attacks allow an attacker to exploit, you know, and break into my WordPress. You know, there's other ways to potentially break into WordPress, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But anyway, these are things that are at the language level, and they're interesting, and this is a very interesting thing to be watching. I'm checking it several times a day, because he's pumping things out. I thought it was going to be like one a month, but no. He's pumping these things out. It's, let's see, how many has he got so far? Month of PHP bugs. Okay, we're up to number 16. What's today? The 9th now. So he's definitely ahead of one a day, you know, more on the two a day approach. Very fun. I'm having a lot of fun watching this project. And there was something else I wanted to cover, but anyway, that's basically the gist. PHP is, I guess, my conclusion. In conclusion, PHP itself is not so much an insecure language. It gets a very bad rap, in my opinion. It is really just that it allows people to make very, very, very bad mistakes. I don't entirely blame the language for it. I don't want really... My preference is not for PHP to completely hold my hand, but I think it needs to have reasonable tools that make it easy. You know, one of the things that I would love is to have some built-in input validation routines. I think this is, you know, pathetic that it's still lacking. You know, I should be able to, you know, I actually wrote this. I wrote a structure in PHP where it would yank the inputs, the get, post, and cookies. It would yank the data out of there as soon as it loaded up. It would copy all of those values into a private area. This worked in PHP 5. So I would put it in a private area of my class, a private variable. And then I would empty the get, post, and cookie arrays. And then I provided functions where the developer would say, okay, I need this, you know, post input from the user, and it has to be this data type, right? It has to be a number value, or it has to be, you know, an int or a double or whatever. It would tell me what data type it needs to be along with what, you know, variable name it wants. And then then my code would validate that. It would check to make sure it fit the criteria. You know, if it was a number value, they could say a number value between 1 and 100, right? So no negative values, no zero. You know, it had a lot of functionality. It's a really cool bit of code. And what it did is it forced the developer to, when it was going to take user from an input, to know what data it wanted, what data the developer wanted and is expecting. And if it didn't meet that criteria, it was as if the user never gave it. Okay? I returned some error codes and I had to wait for it to work. But anyway, there are mechanisms like that. And I keep considering writing a PHP extension to do these things. But and maybe I'll have to get off my butt and do it. But that's the kind of thing that I really believe that the language should provide. Okay? Maybe it's not something that's on by default. But as a developer, I could, you know, say, hey, I want to use this extension. I want to load the extension. And then I want to ask it for the data in the data types I'm expecting. So that really makes it secure. I will not in my, you know, actually the way I had it designed is they declared that they wanted this data type and I would put it back in the post, get, or cookie arrays. So that the rest of the application functioned as expected. But they had, you know, before the data got into those locations, they would have to declare it. So there are things that they could do that they're not doing it, I don't think, is a security knock on the language itself. It is just a programming language. But they could do things to, they could offer better tools for application developers to build secure applications rather than everybody having to homegrown it. You know, my solution was a homegrown. You know, everybody's writing their own input validation routines. If they would just provide one set, you know, if they had an extension or whatever, they provided a really good set of input validation routines, I think that would go a long way. And it's something that's totally within, you know, something that's doable. So, you know, I may talk to the Hardened PHP project. Maybe it's, you know, I could learn some stuff there. But, you know, there are things that the language could do better, but it's not bad. You know, PHP still gets great props from me. I still think it's a great language. I definitely recommend it if you're going to be, if you want to get into web application development. I think PHP is the way to go. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff going on in the Microsoft web development world of ASP.NET and the .NET platform. Very cool stuff. But I still have great preference toward PHP, and I'm a, you know, big supporter. I'm trying not to be a defender of bad practices that they have, but it's interesting. One more thing about the month of PHP bugs. A couple days ago, he released one that talks about a way to bypass mod security post-validation. And it's actually quite funny because mod security is a web application firewall kind of solution. And this way of doing an ASCII Z character embedding in the form post, basically it would just completely bypass mod security's validation. And I'm not sure why that was the case or whatever. It's kind of silly, but he posted that as a problem. And I'm not really sure how that is a PHP, something mentioned in PHP other than he just wanted to get it out there and bug people. But the mod security people did get upset about it. They felt like it was irresponsible of him to post it without notifying them first or whatever. Quite entertaining. You know, whatever, I guess, is really what I have to say. I think mod security should fix it as quickly as possible. If they have a, that's a pretty glaring omission. Let's say, you know, this is what they're there for. So he did step outside of purely the PHP security for one of the bugs in the bug or the month of bugs PHP month of PHP bugs project. Quite interesting. Definitely recommend watching it. Maybe there'll be some more interesting kind of outside of scope postings on there. But again, php-security.org. This has been the Mighty Seek podcast. I have tons of housekeeping information to put out there. I've been doing a lot of PodPress work. I've got tons of stuff going on my job. That's really why this show is delayed. But I think it's run long enough. My voice is tired. I'm tired. I want to get this thing out. And so I guess I'm done rambling is the point. Thank you all for listening. And I will try not to leave you again for so long. Actually, I'm going to be following a lot of this month of PHP bugs thing. And I am going to get another hands-on series episode out very soon. I got it. I've got the code all written. It's all there. I just got to sit down and record the darn show. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. See you later.
Save the day. That means that Mighty Seed is on the way.